I will start by asking blessings from all the Vaishnavas that whatever I may speak now will be of some benefit to them. I'm not qualified. I thought this day sitting on the hot seat will never come, but somehow it has come. So I will try my best and deliver something that is beneficial. Somehow people think I'm a pujari, but I'm really not. I'm trying. I'm getting training. Hopefully, one day I'll be a pujari. Okay. Today I'll be doing deity worship. Mahendra Prabhu did it the other week, and who can top what he did? He really shared nice pastimes, which I don't have today. So if you were waiting for some pastimes, sorry, I don't have any. Mahendra Prabhu took them all. Anyway, this was a, for most people who think I'm a pujari might have thought this was a simple topic for me to do, but I found it most difficult because while I was doing my research, I realized how much I didn't know, but I'm happy that I did this. Now I know better, and I can maybe share some of the things I came across while doing my research. I had so many questions while preparing this site, and I was thinking deity worship. You know, if someone came to me and said deity worship, like if someone says Krishna to you, the first thing you think of is he's blue, he wears a yellow dot, he has a flute, and all these things. So I was thinking the same thing. If someone asked me what is deity worship, I'll think a pujari, a chamara on the altar, Krishna dressed nicely. But is that what deity worship is? And then I had this question, when does deity worship really start? Does it start when you go on the altar, or is there a whole thing before that and after that? And then I read this small orange book, which has the deity worship standards. And I realized deity worship doesn't necessarily start when you step on the altar. It starts when you wake up. There are preparations for you waking up. You have to, your mindset, you have to shower, and there are certain rules how to do it also. It's not like, you know, you wake up, okay, I'll go to the bathroom, jai, and, you know, put some soap, little bit, and run. That's what I usually do when I'm late. I'm like, run. You know, I have to go. But then when I read this, I was like, oh my God, I'm so offensive. How can I do this? But anyway, I was thinking also, and cooking kept coming to my mind. I was thinking, why cooking and deity worship? What could be the same in cooking and deity worship? But I realized deity worship, as well as cooking, first you need to know what you're preparing. You need to have an idea of what you're gonna prepare. And also deity worship, you need to know the position of the deity. If you don't know what is the position of the deity, then you kind of commit this offense. You're thinking, okay, it's a statue on the altar. You know, Krishna is there sometimes. Sometimes I don't think he's there, so I can, you know, take a quick shower today. And also, cooking and deity worship have this standard of cleanliness. So I thought I will go into cleanliness. And I was thinking also what about the standard of cleanliness, and I said, okay, I said, and you know, I mean, most of the people who serve the deities are the brahmanas, the pujaris. But does really the deity worship mean the pujaris on the altar? I think we have all these preaching programs, book distribution, prasadam distributions, harinams, and all these other activities that we do for preaching. And this, I was thinking, everything we do it as an offering to Krishna. So this is also a form of deity worship, not directly on the altar, but it's also a form of deity worship because this is an offering you made. You make yourself for Krishna. So does the standard of cleanliness only apply to pujaris on the altar, or that, is it for everyone in ISKCON? And I was thinking, if these were my thoughts, if we doing deity worship, it might not be in the form of a pujari on the altar, but we go out there, we preach to people, we say, come and surrender to Krishna, serve Krishna as a lotus feet. So, like I said before, it's an offering. So we need to like really think about the standard of cleanliness. Is it for pujaris, or is it for everyone else? And cleanliness is said to be one of the four pillars of spiritual life. So if you practice in spiritual life, then it also applies to you, not only the pujaris, because I believe that everyone is practicing spiritual life, not only pujaris are practicing spiritual life. And I had a few quotes from Prabhupada about cleanliness. And I thought this one was funny, but then he went further to explain it. He said, it's a letter to Rishi Kumari. Krishna consciousness means to have a clean beat back. Krishna consciousness means to have a clean beat back. And I was thinking, really? If I have a clean beat back, then I'm Krishna conscious? And I checked my beat back. I was like, oh my God, I need to change the beat back now. And he has a few quotes also. In the early days of the I want to read this one. Then I wanted to read that I thought was really funny. No, I have lost it anyway. In the early days of the movement, Srila Prabhupada instructed devotees to clean their plates and the cooking pots right after honoring prasad. When one of the leaders saw that the devotees were not following his orders, he asked Srila Prabhupada which method he should use to get devotees to the point of following. And Prabhupada's answer was, the orders of the spiritual master should be sufficient. So we see in a lot of passages that I read, Prabhupada really stressed the idea of cleanliness. He said cleanliness was next to godliness. I mean, it shouldn't be a problem if you come from a family that is clean. You taught these things when you were young. I remember when I was really young, my grandmother would never allow me in the kitchen before I brush my teeth or wash my face. She's, you know, these are simple things. But we always ask ourselves, you know, we have all these signs in the deity kitchen, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, like this. And people come and they're like, oh, why all these things? But, you know, in practical life also, these things are there. But then we should understand these things, these standards are there so we can worship Krishna nicely. Because if we don't know, then we might do our own concoctions and end up not rendering a nice service. And we hear this so many times you hear same thing. I was thinking the other day, you know, we read Prabhupada's books, all of them. There's nothing different Prabhupada has ever said in his books. He said the same thing. He said the same thing in different ways, but it's the same thing. He has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, and he keeps saying the same thing. And why? Why does Prabhupada say the same thing? Because we're so forgetful. Why do we have these rules of cleanliness? Because if we don't put them there, we will not follow them. Even when they're there, sometimes we kind of like, oh yeah, maybe this one I'll follow, maybe this one. no, this one is not for me. But all these rules are there for us to serve Krishna nicely. I was listening to a lecture by Bhakti Vijaya Puna Maharaj, and he was talking on Vanashram. I know it's not relevant for this, but then there was one point that he made, and I was thinking this is a good point. He was talking about Grihastha Ashram and women in scripture, that, you know, there are so many negative things said in the Srimad Bhagavatam about women and Grihastha Ashram and what wrong stuff will go in there and all these other things. But then he said we should understand why so many of these things are said in the scripture. We don't really understand. He said there are also good things that are said in the Bhagavatam about these two ashrams. But the reason they give us so many bad things is to know that these things are bad. Like a child, if you tell a child don't play with fire once, they don't get it. But if you say don't play with fire, don't play with fire, and you repeat it, then the child gets it, you know, the fire is dangerous. So he said, you know, this, it's not because they want to put everything down, but then they trying to make us aware that all these things they mention, it's not good, and we should leave it. And so I was thinking, in this, the same applies to cleanliness. You know, if the rules are not there, we will not follow the standards of cleanliness. We will just, you know, one day I feel like, okay, the rules are not here. It means if the rules are not here, I'm not supposed to follow. And I was talking also to one Mataji. I was, a friend of mine, I was telling her, you know, I want to do this, my topical class on cleanliness. She said to me, why would you do that when you don't follow the thing 100%? And for me, I was like, oh my God. I think I said something to her, then I kind of left, you know, and it's like, I said something and I left. But later I thought of it and I was like, she's right. Why do I want to do this? But I thought to myself, also, I'm not going to give it up because I'm not following 100%. What I might say might help someone and help me too while I'm saying it, I'm talking about it. So it doesn't matter if I'm following it 100% or not, but these standards are there, and if they get repeated, they kept being repeated, then we will be able to follow them. Otherwise, if we say, okay, I'm not following, so I'm not going to talk about it, it's not going to help. But by hearing, then you slowly develop the qualities of cleanliness. And also I spoke to, I think, Mangala Chandrika Mataji, and she said, you know, you should think about this, all these things that we do, like chanting our rounds and all these other things are part of deity worship, and if we don't do them in a clean state, then it's really bad. And yes, I read more of Prabhupada's quotes, it made it clear that cleanliness was very important. And I had also a few standards, kitchen standards, which we always hear but never follow. I know, I'm guilty of it. I go to the kitchen sometimes trying to run. I remember once I was in South Africa, and my room, we had the main house where the boys lived, and then two small rooms with the bathroom outside where I lived by myself. And I wasn't clean. It was the time of the month and I wasn't clean. So my temple, there was two ways for me to go inside the temple, either through the presiding room or the kitchen. And we had this standard that if you, for Matajis, if it's that time, they're not supposed to touch anything in the kitchen or enter the kitchen or anything. It's like the boys would be like, no, we do it, don't worry. So we had our 3 days off, so I was so happy. Until he called me and said, you have a phone call, and I was waiting for this phone call, so I was thinking, okay, it's going to take me long to go through the presidium room, but if I go through the kitchen, I'll make it. And he was standing on the kitchen door. I was like, oh my God, can you just move? And he didn't move, so I went through the presidium room, and I picked up my phone. I spoke to the person, and I was done, and he wasn't there, so I was thinking, oh, I'll just sneak through the kitchen. He won't see me. And then I was sneaking, and right when I was just in the middle of the kitchen, he saw me. He looked at me. He didn't say anything. And I was like, okay, I'll just move along. And then I went. After 3 days, he called me. He said, Nanu Kanya Mataji. I said, yes, Prabhu. He's like, do you know the house rules? I said, wow, yes. He's like, I have a copy for you. Can you read the house rules? I said, okay, what is all this about? And I started reading the house rules, and I was like, and he said, which one have you skipped the past few days? I said, none of this I skipped. I followed. It's like, no, Manu Kanya. The other day you were sneaking in the kitchen, and you know we were not allowed to sneak in the kitchen. I was like, but probably I just, you know, passed and to go to my room. I thought it was. He said, okay, for your punishment, you clean the whole kitchen because you have contaminated the whole kitchen. I was like, what? And then every step, he said, wash the pots. Wash the pots because everything is contaminated in this kitchen. And I was thinking, he's so crazy. How can you make me clean the kitchen? And I thought he was joking. And I went there, I was like, okay, let me go sleep. And he came and said, Mataji, can you please come clean the kitchen? Or we will not cook in that kitchen. It's contaminated. And I was like, whoa, Prabhu. But then later I thanked him, you know, because for some people these standards of cleanliness are, they don't take them so serious, like, you know, we do what we can do. But for some people, they take them serious, and it's nice to see that people take them serious. Because also when I was listening to the lecture of Bhaktivinoda Punnamaraj, he said something about cleanliness in the whole, in the midst of the Grihastha Ashram seminar. He said, in the spiritual world, everything is clean. Why? It's not because people in the spiritual world like cleaning. They want to have pastimes with Krishna. You know, who wants to be cleaning while Krishna is somewhere doing something? But they clean because Krishna likes everything clean. So if the residents of the spiritual world are clean and they're doing it for Krishna, and if we want to go there and be with him, then we need to start being clean here. We all saying that we want to go, but then the spiritual world is not as cheap as we think. We need to really start preparing, and small things that we think don't count, like cleanliness, they do. The spiritual world is clean, and if you're not clean, I don't think you'll be allowed to go into the spiritual world. And I have more quotes. Let's see. When you are clean, you are in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. When you are dirty, you are in the material world. So it's up to you today where you want to be, spiritual world or the material world, with your dead in your room. I must admit, I'm not the most clean person, but I try. Every time I get the chance to clean my room, I do it. And then I have a few quotes. I hope you don't mind me reading. Those who do not regularly bathe are supposed to be in association with ghosts and crazy creatures. This is Prabhupada, it's not me. So, you know, I think this kind of quotes, they make us aware. You know, every topic, Prabhupada kind of says sweet things and this, like, really, for us, harsh and rough things. But if someone really loves you, they you know, and they want you to achieve something, they will not always be soft to you, because if you they're soft, then you kind of get lazy and say, oh, okay, this person, you know, it's always patting me on the shoulder, it's okay, I'll make it. But then sometimes to wake you up from your sleeping state, they have to push you. Because I know with me, if I'm not pushed, then I cannot sit and say, I'll wait for it to come. You know, sometimes you're hungry and you see a chapati, then you're like, who's going to be the next person to come in the room and give me the chapati? I'm so lazy. I want it, but I won't take it. So sometimes Prabhupada pushed people so they can do something. He didn't do it because he, you know, he felt that he had the power and he would do it, everyone would listen, but he wanted us to be in a good state for us to be able to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. And I'll read another quote. When Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Hawaii, he passed the prasadam room. Seeing him, the devotees were in so much ecstasy. They dropped everything and ran after Prabhupada. His divine grace led everyone on the compound and then returned to the temple room. Soon later, Guru Kripa complained to Prabhupada about the leftover prasad and the unclean prasadam room, and also mentioned how he had difficulties to bring the devotees to the point of cleaning. And this was Srila Prabhupada's comment. If a devotee doesn't clean, he must go home again and live with his mother. So if you don't clean and you need a mummy, we don't have mummies in the temple, unfortunately. You will have to stay at home and be with mummy, and mummy can clean after you. So those of us who don't like cleaning, maybe we should start packing our bags and going home to be taken care of. And I think I have a few more. Okay. This is a letter in 1976. It doesn't say who the letter was sent to. If we don't lead a Brahmanical life, we are not allowed to call ourselves Brahmanas. You may be a son of a respected high court judge, but if you don't have the required qualification, you cannot call yourself a judge. There has to be an institution of training and educating Brahmanas. Everyone should be classified according to his education and his qualities. And I was thinking, you know, most people say I'm Brahman, you know, and then you should, you know, me. But Brahman doesn't really mean, you have to be clean. Prabhupada stresses it, you have to be clean. Brahmana means clean. And if you can be Brahman initiated, but if you're not clean, then you might as well call yourself something else. Prabhupada said, Brahmana means clean. He said it means clean. And, you know, that's why most of the time when people say, oh, you're Brahman. No, I'm not, because I know I'm not clean. I'm not clean to the standard that Prabhupada wanted for Brahmanas. And then that made it even, you know, worth it for me. I was like, you know, I'm not going to call myself anything. And what to do? Until I reach the stage, then I can call myself a Brahmana. But for now, maybe next life, this life, I don't think I'll make it. So already gone. But maybe by the help of devotees, I'll make it. And then I read in chapter 1, preparing for worship. Like I said before, this should not be taken as only for pujaris, because we all do some service for Krishna, like singing and making garlands for Krishna. It's part of deity worship. Cooking for devotees in the kitchen, it's part of deity worship, because everything we do is offered to Krishna. So this is not for the pujaris. It's a standard that applies to everyone. And Prabhupada said, deity worship means very, very clean. You should try to bathe twice daily. The deity should never be approached without having taken bath first and changed to clean clothes after passing stool. Keep teeth brushed after each meal. fingernails clean and trim. Be sure your hands are clean before touching anything on the altar or the deities. And cleanse the deity room, altar floor, daily, thoroughly. Shine various Ardi paraphernalia after Ardi. The idea is submit cleanliness that will satisfy Krishna. So we see that cleanliness, it's one of the many ways that we can get Krishna to be satisfied with us. So it will be, you know, really nice if we are clean. And one more quote from Prabhupada. The spiritual master, along with his disciple, is always engaged in cleansing the temple of Shri Radha and Krishna. If cleanliness is neglected, it is sure a sign of laziness. If one is lazy, one does not keep his environment clean. First, let me sleep, the mode of ignorance. We have to overcome the Rajaguna and Tamaguna. So Prabhupada again says, you know, cleanliness doesn't mean, he says cleaning the temple, some people might not consider it as part of daily worship. They're thinking, okay, it's just cleaning, but you're cleaning Krishna's temple, so it's your offering to Krishna. So we have to try and keep everything clean. Starting with me, I'll try and keep everything clean. I'm not such a clean person. So this lecture was meant for me. I'll read one more quote. In India, it is the custom that the kitchen is not even in the same building. In India, it is the custom that the kitchen is not even in the same building where the living rooms are, because living rooms are contaminated. After cooking, all the pots are thrown away. This is not possible in your country. Therefore, you have to keep utmost cleanliness. Krishna does not require opulent offerings. He appreciates a sincere endeavor. A clean kitchen is more important than an opulent offering. If the kitchen is neat and clean, then the offering will be good. If the offering is so-called opulent offering, but the kitchen is not clean, Krishna will not like it. So, we might be living outside as grihasthas, but we still cook for Krishna. We still do the same things temple would do. So that's why I said in the beginning, cleanliness is meant for everyone. If you're offering anything to Krishna, then your house, yourself, everything you use in Krishna's service has to be clean, because he will be pleased. It's not about what offering you make. If you make paneer and someone else is making khichdi, but if the person who's making khichdi has a clean kitchen and you have paneer, Krishna will just say, oh, nice paneer, but I'll go for the khichdi, thank you. So let us try and be clean in order to please Krishna. Okay. If you have any comments or corrections. Yeah, Prabhupada said there's two types of cleanliness. Cleanliness, internal cleanliness and external cleanliness. And these two, we should not think otherwise. These two go together. You can't clean yourself inside and not clean yourself outside. It's like you wake up in the morning and decide, I'm not going to take shower this morning. I'm going to go do my service. You bring all this, you know, your sleeping modes with you, and then you're kind of like touching everything. It's not so, you know, so it's also, Prabhupada said, you also have to clean yourself inside and out. So both sides, both ways, you know. If you clean inside and leave outside, or if you clean outside and leave inside, you're not clean. So you have to clean in and out. Any other comments or corrections? What I was trained to do and what I read here, it's you brush your teeth before you go into a shower. Yeah. No, not necessarily take shower every time you brush your teeth, unless if you wanna do something, some kind of save, you know. He says every time you go to the bathroom, you should definitely take a shower. Some people don't know these things. You'll be surprised. You know, people come to the temple for the first time and they kind of like used to their own ways of doing things outside, and then they come and then they do stuff and you're like, should I tell them or should I not? I'm always caught up in this and I'm like, should I tell them? But if I don't tell them, then, you know, they contaminate everything. And then it's also difficult to tell someone from outside that you can't touch things after you've been in the bathroom, because they think like, you're so crazy. I'm clean, what did I do? Like, but you went to the bathroom and need to change your clothes. It's always been a difficult for me to instruct people with. Yes, Janet, I got a problem. Yeah. Yeah, but some people don't know about this standard. It's like I've met a lot of people who didn't. It's like, why do I even do this? Why should I do it? You know, why should I wash my mouth after I finish eating? For them, but for us as devotees, because we're doing service to Krishna, we need to do these things and be careful, because our goal is to please Him. And this is one of the ways to do it. So we should take it serious. Yeah, tolerance is one of the qualities devotees should have, but yeah, we can try. It's also up to the other person also. Sometimes you can tolerate, but if you see the person is not even trying, then how much can you tolerate, really? So I know tolerance doesn't have limits, but then some people, you try to help, but then they feel like, yeah, and they keep doing the same thing again and again, and then you, at some point you have to say, you know, look here, this is the standard, and if you don't follow, sorry, you have to. Sometimes we need to be straight as devotees, you know. Sometimes we kind of like, say someone is doing something 5-6 times, we're kind of like, yeah, just leave him one day. But then you see this person, which you never, it's not because you're judging the person, but this person is not really keen to change, or you know, he's just here and he keeps, you know, taking up so much of your time, you're busy saying this. But then if you see that this kind of people, you tell them, you know, it stops here. here. If you don't want to do this, then sorry, you can't be here. Anyway, any other? Yep. I guess external cleanliness is easier for everyone. You taught this from home schools that you need to. Internal cleanliness is the difficult one because you didn't grow up being told that you have to clean yourself internally, and this is the method. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a difficult one. You have to always hear from devotees who are doing this and kind of do it. But external, you know, you have to take a shower when you wake up, brush your teeth, wash your hands after eating. These are like the basic things we do. External cleanliness is difficult, but we have to do it in order to render service to Krishna. Yeah. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.